Good morning. When I was growing up, one of my favorite series of movies to watch was the Back to the Future movies. Anyone else like those? I always thought it would be really cool to be able to see into the future, or to be able to go back to the past and change things that you didn't like, right? But as you learned from the movies, sometimes that got you into a little bit of trouble, right? But as people, this is, I think, something that rings true for many of us. We want to see the future. We want to know what's going to happen, particularly in times of despair and trouble and uncertainty. We want to know when good is going to come next. And I think this has been true for people throughout history, and the Bible shows us that. Because in the midst of despair and turmoil and darkness, that is when the prophets begin to speak. They begin to talk about something new that will come. And they start to offer these moments of hope, not just to the people in the biblical stories, but also for us today. Advent is one of my favorite seasons. It is a season that I often long for and anticipate and can't wait until it arrives, although I refuse to let it arrive in our house until after Thanksgiving has passed, because I firmly like to hold on to Thanksgiving. Sorry if you're one of those people that decorates the day after Halloween, but we could not live in the same household together. But one of the things that rings true about Advent for us is this idea that in the midst of the bad, we long for hope. We sang one of my favorite hymns this morning, O Come, Emmanuel. And every time we sing the first verse, I get a little, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, sorry. But it gives me pause, because it says this, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. They are captive, and they want to be ransomed. They are in slavery and long to be free. And then it goes right into the verse where it says, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us, shall come. And this is at the very heart of the Christmas story, that where there is darkness, God will bring light. That where there is captivity, God will bring freedom. That where there is despair, God will bring hope. But as much as I love the Advent season, it always gives me pause, and it confuses me a little bit, because as much as I yearn, as much as I hope, as much as I wait, as much as I love to sing Charles Wesley's Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, I also remember that I just did all of this last year. As we were sitting here going through announcements this morning and we started talking about Forever Christmas, I was like, wasn't that just like 5 minutes ago that we were just talking about this? And last Sunday when we decorated for Christmas, I was like, didn't we just put up these Christmas decorations? And when we went and we got our Christmas tree this weekend, I thought, didn't I just put our Christmas boxes down in the basement? Probably because I just did put our Christmas boxes down in the basement. But this is something that seems to happen on repeat. We do the same things over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And yet it seems like we do that, right? We do the same thing over and over and over again, and we expect Jesus to appear and things to get better. Because here's the thing, we still live in times of war, or promises of war, or fears of war, or just exiting a war knowing that the next one is about to arrive, right? We still live in a world where we come to church on Sunday morning and we hear someone say, yeah, my uncle has cancer. Or we still live in a world where we turn on the evening news and there has been yet another shooting. We still drive into the city and hear sirens because there's been yet another traffic accident. And yet we keep hoping. One of the things that we believe as United Methodist, when we talk about Revelation and the end times and the second coming, when we talk about the apocalypse, one of the things that we believe is that we have a kingdom theology or an inaugurated eschatology. Because we believe that Jesus has come and Jesus is here and Jesus is alive. And at the very same time, we believe that the fullness of God has not been realized yet. We live in this tension of God has already come and God has yet to come. The already and the not yet. And Advent reminds us of that. This repeated season reminds us of the joy that God has already come. That this manger, this scene, the shepherds coming, the angels announcing and proclaiming to Mary and to Joseph, and them riding miles on a donkey to come and to place their newborn baby in a manger, that has already happened. And yet the fullness of the promise of that story has yet to come. And this is exactly what we learn when we come to our reading in Isaiah this morning. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1, it says this, from the sole of the feet even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and bleeding wounds. They have not been drained or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire in your very presence. Aliens devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. The beginning of Isaiah is bleak. The promise of a future almost seems hopeless. And yet, just one chapter later, we get this future promise of God that says the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem says, in those days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house, those will be established. We get this promise. We are accustomed in the life of the church to hearing words of promise. We listen. But one of the beautiful things about Isaiah is Isaiah tells us that he sees this. It says, the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. Says he visually saw the word of God. And this is the image that appeared to him. That after the devastation that comes in Isaiah 1, we get a new word and new days. That Zion will be established. That their land will be made secure and firm and lasting. And it will be lifted to the greatest heights so that the whole world can see it. Zion is Judah's moral center. It becomes their point of orientation, the locus of their worship. the center of what they long for. And it is a reminder that these are the people and this is the place that God has chosen. And now Isaiah is proclaiming it. And it says that Zion, that all of the nations will stream to Zion like water toward the presence of the worship. Now I want you to think about mountains. Which way does water stream? Down the mountain, right? And out into the rivers and beyond. The biblical imagery tells us that Zion is like this mountain lifted up high, and instead of things streaming away from it, the nations are going to stream toward it. That this is going to be the center point of God. This is the image, this is the seeing that Isaiah provides for us. In the craziness of Christmas, it is easy for us to turn our backs on God. It is easy to turn our back away from this manger. But the prophets remind us that we are called to orient ourselves toward this visual representation of God's presence in our lives. This season, this Advent, we are going to be focusing on this manger. You know this story, right? In the days of King Herod, right? The decree was issued. We know this story. And yet, we often forget, especially by the time January comes. We're ready to take down our decorations and shove them back in the basement and forget about it until next year. But even if that's true, even if the Christmas spirit is only alive for the next 25 days, maybe something transformative can happen if we can focus our attention here. Because this is the thing about Isaiah in this story. Even though Isaiah promises this hope of God that this mountain will be raised, some scholars say, well, this relates to the first temple or to the second temple. Well, if we know anything about biblical history, both of those temples were destroyed, right? So even though this promise has been fulfilled, it hasn't really been fulfilled yet. The thing about the prophets is they're not like future predictors, right? They don't look into a crystal ball. But what the prophets do is show us, they allow us to see God's promised future for us that has both been realized and is yet to come. This manger is here, and yet it is also something that we continue to long for. And so as we go throughout this Christmas season, I hope we can orient ourselves toward the manger, be reminded of the promise of God, and continue to live into that promise each and every day. Let us pray. God, this morning you offer us hope. You offer us hope through the prophets, who even in the midst of darkness and despair, O God, we were told to walk in the light. That your love would be revealed to us, and that one day, all of the nations would stream toward you. God, on this first Sunday in Advent, let us begin to orient ourselves towards you and to your promises and to your ways. And God, just as we sang this morning, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice, for we know that Emmanuel, that God with us shall come. And God, we await that moment. And we welcome your presence with open arms and open hearts this day. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.